The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of News Talk 600 and 100.3 WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's 10 o'clock. It's Saturday morning, and that can only mean one thing. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here, as always, this time of a Saturday to do all kinds of fun things. If you're new to the show, stick around. Hopefully you'll learn something. If you're a regular, thanks for coming back. Stay with us again. I would remind everyone again that not all financial radio shows are created equal. Most of them are pre-recorded. If you listen to them, you will hear one thing, and that is what the host wants to talk about. You're different. If you want to have editorial control and hear yourself on the radio, give us a call at 222-TALK. That's 222-8255, area code 904, and we'll talk about what you would rather talk about. Until then, we'll talk about what I want to talk about.
And what's that?
Almost everything today. But first, a personal note. We went to a big party last night, and lo and behold, a football game broke out.
And a pretty good one at that.
I don't care what anybody says. This old, well, it's just a preseason thing. That doesn't cut it. It's the first game of the season. We took the lead. We lost the lead. We regained the lead. And we kept it and chalk one up for the good guys, I say.
Yeah, I definitely think that Khan has this team headed in the right direction.
The team and the public. It was a very, very good crowd there last night. It seemed very orderly. Everybody was having a good time. But the really amazing thing, and I don't know if Khan is this good or what happened, but it was the 14th of August in Florida, and it was the nicest night I think I've ever been outside in the month of August and probably a couple other months, just sitting there looking out over the Jumbotron on the field. And the temperature and humidity and breeze and everything were absolutely perfect.
So did you actually watch the game in real time, or did you just watch the Jumbotron?
I said a game broke out. I didn't say that I watched it. But, you know, it is funny when you're in an end zone and you look up. You can't really get depth of field very well by looking down at the field, so it's hard to see the difference between a 2-yard gain and a 3-yard gain, which, of course, can mean anything. So you kind of watch it on the Jumbotron and try to catch the action out of the bottom of your eye and up there. But the other amazing thing is the Jumbotron. Holy cow.
No kidding.
That thing is just phenomenal. What they've done with the stadium, and I know you all contributed. Thank you very much. It's truly incredible. Absolutely remarkable job. But congrats to the Jaguars. It is exactly what this town needs to see them regaining their popularity, regaining their game. I like the fact that they're not reluctant to make moves when they have to.
No, they've made a lot of moves this offseason. They look to be paying off.
Yeah. Well, it does remind me again that this is a financial show, but I couldn't help myself. We had such a good time. So it was just great. All right. Who are we? What do we do? I'm going to let Adam explain a little of that to you, what we do for our day jobs. Take a little time off on Saturday to talk to you folks. But during the week, we do actually have a job.
We do. And it is located out at the beach. Our office is at 1538 The Greens Way in Jacksonville Beach. It's right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit on Butler. And if you ever want to call us outside of the radio show, it's 904-685-1505. We also have an online presence, and in order to find us, you're going to have to be able to spell our name. It's VANWIE, or for those in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. We are at www.vanweefinancial.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/vanweefinancial. You can also find us on Twitter at Van Wee Financial. And we do a blog weekly with interesting stories from the radio show and then some not from the radio show. So check that out on our website. It's under the one of the tabs is our blog. Just click it and you'll find lots of good information about finance and what's happening in the markets. And also, if you ever want to email us, if you're not the type that likes to call into the radio, email us at info@vanweefinancial.com.
And a reminder for everybody, we are fee-only, truly. It's a very rare thing to find a true fee-only firm. Most of them claim it. Very few of them live up to it. We do. It's a father-son outfit. We have meetings together for the most part, get a little bit of a different viewpoint from the older and the younger people, which I will get into a little later. But being money managers as we are, it's very interesting when the market is like the market was this week. Oh, my gosh. I think I say this every week, but I tell you, I think we set a new record this week.
What did I predict last week?
Volatility.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of it this week, especially in the first half of the week. We had a really big day on Monday. The market was up, and then Tuesday came, and we gave all that back. Then Wednesday was an interesting day. The market plunged, only to close within a few points of where it had opened. So it was pretty interesting. The rest of the week was fairly calm, ticked up a little bit, and all three indices were up between 0.1 and 0.7%, the NASDAQ being the one that rose the smallest, and the S&P going up about 0.7. So it was not a bad week, not a great week, just a lot of movement for very little reward.
Well, a lot of fearful people, a lot of, oh my God, what should I do moments out there. It does remind us that volatility is a normal part of the game. This much volatility, maybe not so much, but it is part of the game. If it can't go down, it can't go up.
Yep. And one thing I keep reminding people and clients is that a 200-point day on the Dow when it was at 10,000 used to be a pretty big deal. At 17,000, it's not quite half as big of a deal, but it's a lot less than it used to be. So you have to keep that in mind. We are going to see 100-point days pretty regularly at this level, and you know I don't expect that to stop anytime soon.
No, I can't say that I do either. And we'll talk some more about the whole Chinese thing that triggered the sell-off on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. We'll do that after the break. Our trivia question is sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. So thanks to Ken. And we're going to be talking a little bit about planning topics as we usually do. I've been on Social Security for a while. I've got a few more things to say about that. And I don't mean that I'm on Social Security, although I could be.
You could, but you're not.
I'm infinitely qualified, but I haven't taken it yet. But anyway, I want to talk about long-term care insurance, too. It's a very misunderstood thing. So the trivia question today, and this is, I promise you that this answer will surprise you when you get it. What percentage of the 13 million Americans currently receiving some kind of long-term care services are underneath the age of 65? What percentage? And I will tell you, it is more than you probably would first guess. So we'll get to that right away, 636-222-TALK. Call us right after the break. Do not go away. We'll be right back.
Like us on Facebook at WBOP Jacksonville.
Hey, it's Michael Savage. Join us weekday afternoons at 3.
WBOB Jacksonville is AM 600 and FM 100.3. On the road at AM 600 and FM 100.3. Online at WBOBradio.com.
Hi, it's Mark Levin. Weeknights at 6.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Sounded a little like the space aliens might have inhabited the station for a little bit.
That was a strange commercial break.
Yeah, we're having a little techno glitch, I think, around here. And there's a caller on the line, but I want to get the problem cleared up before we get to you. So hang on just a second, if you would. Let's finish up the market discussion and talk a little bit about why China caused such a to-do for us.
Yeah, they sure did. And they didn't do it to cause that. They did it for selfish reasons. They devalued the yuan this week by 2%.
It's so hard almost to say renminbi.
Yeah, that's not quite that hard.
I just proved it right there.
They devalued it by almost 2% versus the dollar, and it was an attempt to manipulate the cost of their exports because they had a little bit of weak trade data. And what that does is it makes their currency cheaper, which makes their goods more attractive to foreign markets, which keeps a lot more Chinese people employed in factories, all things that China wants. And, man, did it cause an uproar in the market. So,
alrighty.
Yep. So it really didn't do us any favors, but I think that they felt that's what they needed to do to boost their sagging export market.
Well, I'm going to talk more about that, but after we talk to Marshall. Good morning, young man.
Hey there. How you doing?
But never better. How about you?
Do we have some background noise too?
I don't. You might.
Yep. Well, I can tell you my question and listen to y'all on the air. How about that?
Sure, no problem.
You said you were going to be bringing up long-term care.
Yes.
I have a classic example for many of us who made that investment a few years ago and started with long-term care insurance. Genworth happened to be the probably most prominent company and seemed to have done a pretty good job on everything.
Yes.
Kept hearing about things were going to go up. Never happened. Just got a 23% premium increase.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm. And looking at their options and other options, I'm understanding there's becoming hybrid choices and a few other things.
Yeah.
And I just thought, gee, how about the Beach Boys giving us a little thought about what they see as options for people to consider?
I would love to address that. Are you still having trouble hearing me?
Yeah, I'm getting commercials played over in the background, so it's kind of hard to hear you.
Okay, well, in that case, first off, let me ask if you'd like to take a shot at the trivia question since we're talking about this thing. What percentage of people currently receiving long-term care services are under the age of 65?
20%?
Too low. Now,
very good.
It's like I said, this is going to surprise everybody because that would have been a high guess coming into this blindly, and it's still too low. which I just find amazing. Yeah. All right, well, if you want to shed the phone and just...
Your engineer just solved the problem.
Oh, well, good. Great. Then let's talk.
So I have the dulcet tones of the Van Wee boys.
Is that enough to put you to sleep or keep you awake? I'm not sure which.
No, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, the long-term care market does not really have a hybrid product in it. What it is an income rider that accelerates if you need it. It's an annuity with an income rider. The best way to cover yourself is still traditional long-term care insurance. And yes, the increases are pretty normal. The law says that if you raise the price of long-term care policies, you have to raise it across the board for everyone in that category. So when they do this, you know that you're not alone. They're not picking on you. I have met Life personally, and they negotiated with me last year a little bit differently. I've got a 5% inflation rider on it, and they said, if you skip 1 year of the inflation rider, I won't raise your price. And I took them up on that because I've had it for a lot of years. I figured 5%. Now, you think about how smart that is for them. That 5% would be compounded for the rest of my life, and they don't have to do that. So it looks like a nominal amount of money, but it was really a good deal for them, and I consider it a good deal for me because I've had, as I say, several years of compounding. So that's the first thing. But these other products, oh, by the way, long-term care insurance, one of the reasons that it's so important to get it and get it young is that the underwriting has gotten more and more difficult. If you have serious problems, have had problems, if you have... For instance, I had a brother-in-law once upon a time who failed the memory test, and no one really knew back then that he was being afflicted with Alzheimer's, which eventually got him. But they even do things like the memory test before they put you on this thing. So if you're younger and healthier, and Adam came up with a target of about 50 years old, but I would say anywhere from 50 to 65, but the day that you need it, you might not be able to get it because you may perceive that need because you've had a problem that would keep you from getting underwritten. So what these hybrid products are mostly doing is giving you a second way to do it where the underwriting is a lot less serious. So if you get turned down and you have a lump sum of money, you can put it into one of these so-called hybrid annuities with the income accelerator on it that will, if you need long-term care, it gives you your money back a little quicker so that you can pay for it. Now, the good news on that, aside from being able to cover some of the cost, the really good news on that is that that money, if it's not used, if you're one of the 40% or so of people who never use it, it's still yours in your annuity. So that makes it kind of a good deal. So when you see these things, the only thing I want you to know is it's not a long-term care product. It is a rider on a traditional product. The best way still, if you can, is to buy regular old long-term care insurance and you might argue pay through the nose, but at $92,000 average annual cost for nursing home care, you really got to think about how fast you'd go broke if you didn't have it.
So, absolutely.
Are you keeping yours now that you got the price increase?
I've got until the end of September to decide, and I'm looking at doing a combination of things.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm looking at the credit line feature on my reverse product as a possibility to complement that because a lot of people have been doing it.
Yep, that's another way to go.
They're talking about saying there's a certain amount of paid-up coverage that they'll give us.
Okay.
So just look at all the different combinations and permutations that are there because if they go 23% this year, I mean – I used to work for a subsidiary of Genworth, for the mortgage side.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
And they're not the greatest run company around. And they have a lot of bells and whistles, but there's challenges there. So if it's 23% this year, what's it going to be next year and the year after?
Well, the numbers recently came in. I just saw them this week. The experience came in for the last year, and it's up 8%. So I think the days of having these gigantic increases are probably over. But with an 8% increase, if you've got a 5% rider, they might want to give you a little bit of a kick on it periodically. But you know one thing for sure. They do not want to raise those premiums if they don't have to because they're going to lose a lot of policies.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
yeah.
That works. Well, it's like any insurance product. It's going to work that way. But both
sides of
it.
Well, it's interesting you say that Met, because of course they're not writing any new policies anymore, but they actually were negotiating with you rather than something that was a stated item.
Yep.
Right?
They gave me basically an either or. And I took the or. And I was very happy they did it. I give them kudos for that. And you're right. They won't write it anymore. I was the agent back then. I used to be licensed. I sold it to myself.
Oh, okay.
So I got the Cadillac plan that you couldn't buy today for love nor money. So it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And Met's not going anywhere. So,
nope.
You know, that's a good thing.
The big carriers now,
well, thank you.
Genworth and Hancock and a couple others, but there aren't many.
Yeah.
Not many
very
at
good.
All.
Thank y'all.
All right, Marshall, you take care of yourself. Thanks for the call.
One interesting thing about that market is that there aren't a whole lot of companies that write those types of products, and it's still a relatively new product in the insurance world. So they're still trying to figure out exactly what these things are going to cost, and they're finding out that people are using it younger in some cases, and also
that's our trivia question.
Yep, and then also for less time than what they had thought. So some people may move into assisted living for a little while, but they might recover and get out. And that wasn't something I think that they fully understood when they started writing these policies. So they're still trying to figure out what the price point is, where they can make some money, and it's a good deal for the consumer at the same time.
Generally speaking, if you wait very long to do this, you're going to be paying through the nose. What that will typically result in is the inability mentally to make that big leap. I just won't pay that much money because what if I never wind up using it? Well, the chances of you using it are really pretty high, folks. And the thing that is probably the hardest to get across to anyone, and I've been saying this for a long, long time, nothing else pays those bills except if you are dead solid broke and go on Medicaid. And I have told Adam and the other kids that if you ever see them carrying me into a Medicaid-approved nursing home, shoot me on the way before I hit the front door because I don't want it. Now, I know there are some good ones. I've heard from some people who have had very good luck with them. But in general, you just don't want it to happen, which brings up another point. Usually, we look at your net worth to tell you whether or not you should buy long-term care insurance. If you're under about $300,000, don't bother. You're going to go broke anyway. If you're over about $3 million in net worth, then don't worry about it either. You can self-insure. But if you would like to, if you're really adamant about your legacy and your kids, whatever, then buy a smaller policy that doesn't pay out $92,000 a year. Maybe you pay $40 or $45 or $50 and self-insure the rest. There are lots of ways to look at this thing. The important part of it is it's a planning function, and you should have someone to talk to about planning these things. And I do not mean the agent. I mean your own personal planner, preferably fee-only, preferably a CFP.
Preferably those guys at the beach.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he picked up right away on where I was going with that. But as Marshall pointed out with his estimate, 20%, the question again being, what percentage of the 13 million Americans currently receiving long-term care services are under the age of 65? And we now know that 20% is too low. That means there's a whole bunch of people out there that are younger than I am, and they're currently receiving it. Now, remember what I just said. Once you start needing it, you probably can't buy long-term care insurance for the rest of your life. It's too late. So if you want to call us and take a shot at the trivia, you know the number is higher than 20%. It's 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. After the break, we're going to talk about why China did that, which Adam explained a bit. But I'm going to talk about what it really means to you and me that that's happening. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a neutral thing? If you stick around through the break, we'll tell you. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. 222 Talk. We will see you after the break.
WBOB Jacksonville is
Bill Bennett.
This is Laura Ingram.
It's Glenn Beck.
Michael Savage.
Mark Levin.
AM 600 and FM 100.3 WBOB Jacksonville.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Queen Elizabeth has led ceremonies in Britain marking the 70th anniversary of the victory over Japan during World War II. The members of the royal family commemorated the event at a church service at St. Martin in the Fields in London, joined by veterans of the conflict and former prisoners of war. Cameroon's president has vowed to send 2,450 troops to join a regional army to fight Boko Haram, nearly tripling his initial pledge. The Nigeria-based extremist group became an affiliate of ISIS earlier this year. Its attacks, including suicide bombings, have increased over the past year in Cameroon's north. The popular Yosemite National Park, boy, having problems this year, this summer especially. A fallen tree branch that killed two young campers, both of them under the age of 18. Park officials have temporarily closed another popular campsite after two squirrels died of plague. For more details, go to srnnews.com.
Baseball's never been hotter with the Jacksonville Sun.
News Talk AM 600, FM 100.3 WBOB. Bringing you all of the action every night the Jacksonville Suns play. And hey, Mark Levin fans, don't worry, because after every Suns game during the week, the Mark Levin Show will run in its entirety. So stick around with us, enjoy the Jacksonville Suns, and Mark Levin. News Talk AM 600, FM 100.3 WBOB.
Baseball's never been hotter with the Jacksonville Suns.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, August 19th at 7 p.m., it's the Financially Fit Workshop at the Murray Hill Branch Library in Jacksonville. Also Wednesday, August 19th at 7 p.m., it's the Music by the Sea Concert Series at the St. Johns County Pier. And Wednesday, August 19th at 7.05 p.m., it's the Jacksonville Suns versus Mobile at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville.
For more information or to have your event included, visit jackscommunityevents.com.
Baseball's never been hotter with the Jacksonville Suns.
The Suns return home to the baseball grounds on Tuesday for five games against the Mobile Bay Bears. Thursday, it's Thursday Night Throwdown with buds for a buck and two-for-one cocktails. Friday, it's used car giveaway night, and you won't want to miss your chance to win Pedro's Tahoe and other great vehicles. Saturday, August 22nd, it's Christmas in August with our Christmas cap giveaway. For more information, log on to jacksuns.com.
Baseball's never been hotter with the Jacksonville Suns.
WBOB Traffic and Weather.
Right now, 10:33, I'm Tom Murphy in Arlington. Watch for that slow traffic approaching the accident there on Merrill Road southbound at the East Beltway. And you've got a wreck southbound on Blanding at Suzanne Avenue. Partly sunny today, just a slight chance it'll rain, high 90. Right now, Jacksonville with 86. You're at News Talk AM 600 and FM 100.3 WBOB.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment is brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. We live in Florida where things grow like weeds.
And
a lot of them are weeds, yeah. Actually. Call Troy at 662-9794. Whether you got a cleanup job, a fix-up job, or routine maintenance, service is the word. Now, we wanted to mention a little bit. Adam's going to tell you a story in a minute, but I got to finish up something here. China allowed its currency to float 2% last Tuesday. It annihilated our market. They surprisingly did the same thing the next day and went down about 1.6. It was considered by the people that I've been reading to be a bad thing. And I've asked them this: what is wrong with letting the market determine the value of something?
I would argue that that's almost always right.
Yeah. We're having a rather nationwide discussion prior to prior to getting ready for the election, I guess, as to the value of free markets. There are some who seem to want to regulate everything, and there are others, like, well, me, who are practically anarchists on this. I want the market left alone. The value of their currency being pegged to the U.S. dollar, in my mind, is just stupidity. Ours, more than theirs. They're smart. They know exactly how to get their exports back up. We should insist that those things float. Now, what's going on over there? And I do have a point here, so stay with me. You'll see it shortly. What's been going on in China is that they sell us lots of stuff, and we like it because they sell it to us really cheap. Walmart is basically an outlet store for China. And nothing wrong with that. They do a great job. They bring in very inexpensive goods, sell them to lots and lots of people. That's fine, as it should be. So when the exports start to slow down, China took action to make their exports even cheaper. Well, we will inherit that when we go shopping. But the long run, it's all about their currency. What's been happening now, we send them dollars, lots and lots of dollars. We pay for the things that they export. They take those dollars, and what do you suppose they're buying with it? American real estate, for one, and they're buying a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, kind of quietly, they are amassing a great quantity of physical gold, which has gone up recently a lot. The big banks here are buying a lot of physical silver a lot. What three things love inflation? That would be gold, silver, and real estate. Right? What's going to happen to the value of our dollar, which has been gaining strength routinely here? What's going to happen long run? The IMF already gave China the nod to have their currency become part of the what's it called? SDR, I think. It's the reserve currency that they use, which is a blend of various currencies. When China gets in, that's going to lessen the demand for dollars. What happens when the demand for something goes down? The value of that something goes down. The value in this case being the American dollar. What happens when the American dollar falls? Things get more expensive, i.e. inflation. What's going to love it? Gold, silver, real estate, commodities in general, which have been just beaten and thwapped lately, price-wise. So the question I'm asking, under the circumstances I just laid out, is it time for precious metals? Which is my segue. Take it away.
Well, I actually had a little bit about that. Precious metals were actually commodities in general had a pretty good week. Gold and silver saw a nice bump, 2 and 3%, I think, or the other way around. And natural gas also rose slightly, but oil was a different story. And it was dropped about 4% this week and 10% this month, over 30% this year. And that's really just a supply and demand thing. The supply, oversupply, is not coming down as quickly as the markets would like to see.
Free market again.
Exactly. But it's really a self-correcting mechanism. Once that oil reserves get eaten up, you will definitely at some point see oil start to rise again. When? Nobody knows, but it will happen.
Oh, is it time to buy oil, metals, both?
It could be. I'll say that. It's hard to say. You never know what's actually going to happen, but they sure do appear cheap on the surface right now.
They do. So one of the sector I wanted to talk about a little bit this week is precious metals. They have been, underloved would be a euphemism, I guess, for
yeah,
it.
No doubt.
Yeah, they're just basically shunned right at the moment, and I've read so many things about how there's no room for gold and silver in your portfolio. Well, you keep saying that, boys and girls, long enough, and one of these days you're going to be wrong. Haven't been wrong for the last 5 years or so, but I think we're getting to the point where you got to look at this thing and say, what's the real value out there? First off, why is gold even considered valuable? Well, because from the dawn of creation, it's been used as a form of money. It has a limited supply in the world. People like it because it's shiny. But I don't really like owning the physical stuff. I would much prefer the exchange-traded fund for the simplest of reasons. It's very volatile. Price gets real high. It'll turn around and go back to real low. The idea is to try to figure out when you're near the top or near the bottom so you can do the appropriate thing and make some money on it. Because it's not really a long-term investment. It's a holding for your money, a place to put it when other things aren't looking very good. So I like the exchange-traded fund.
There's a couple of them that track gold that are actually the largest one is GLD, and that's the Spider Fund. It has about almost $24 billion in assets and an expense ratio of 0.4, which is higher than the second biggest one, which is IAU. That's the BlackRock Fund, and that's at 0.25, but it is a lot smaller at just under $6 billion in total assets. And then you have the Silver Fund, which is SLV. That's also a BlackRock fund. It has an expense ratio of 0.5 and just under $5 billion in assets. And we use all three of those pretty regularly in portfolios when the time is right.
One of the things that people ask me all the time is, well, I've heard that these things don't really own the metal itself. I can tell you just what I tell everybody. Do your own research on it. There's a lot of room to say, no, they don't have it penny for penny. You couldn't go over to their vault and say, that little piece of it is mine. But it's plenty marketable. Back to a discussion on that. Something that's liquid, this is often misused, means that you can turn it into money right away with no loss of principal. Well, gold and silver are not. They're just not liquid. And gold and silver are sort of marketable in that you can go over to one of the coin stores and sell it. You know, you're going to pay a big commission. But if you have an ETF, you just get on the computer and say, buy 100 shares SLV or sell 200 shares IAU or whatever the heck you want to do. Well, that's marketability instantaneously. And I do like that. Am I worried about whether or not they're fully backed up? No. Life's too short to worry about those little things.
There are some other precious metals that people trade as well.
Yeah,
I don't mess with them, but they're platinum, palladium, and rhodium are a few that are traded pretty regularly.
And then there's rare earth metals that you can get into that are very rare, as luck would have it.
Yep. And then a couple of the reasons you don't want to hold these things physically is that you're going to pay high commissions to get them and to sell them. They're heavy and difficult to move and store. They can be difficult to sell depending on what type of market you're in, and they can be stolen. You can actually lose physical gold or physical silver versus an exchange-traded fund. You're pretty much set that it's going to be held by the custodian. And then again, you also might have to pay someone else to store it, which adds to your holding costs. So all in all, having a little bit is okay, but if you want anything in mass quantities, I would not recommend holding the physical metal.
I agree. Captain Dave, if you don't mind, since we're coming right up on a break, if you don't mind waiting through the little break here, we'll take you right after. I don't want to cut you short. So I want to remind everybody about our trivia question. There are 13 million Americans currently receiving long-term care, not long-term care insurance, but the actual services. Out of those, a fairly significant percentage are under the age of 65, and we know that 20% is too low, and I will give you one more little clue. It's considerably too low. So if you think maybe that you're not old enough yet to worry about this kind of thing, I would strongly suggest that in your next discussion with your financial advisor, which might be your first discussion, if you call us at 685-1505, got that in.
Well done.
Yeah, thank
you.
Good
shameless plug.
It's one of the things, one of the many things that you have to do as a long-term planning discussion, or you're going to wind up losing a lot of money to it that could be preventable. We have to take a break. Hang on. We'll be right back.
Feels like time's running out. You're maxed out on your credit cards. The collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. It seems like every time you turn on the radio, some cheerful couple's telling you how they got out of debt for pennies on the dollar. No more stress and everything is just wonderful. Come on. The truth is that what sounds too good to be true is too good to be true. You need help and you need it now. Not bankruptcy. That should be your last choice. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're the attorney-driven program dedicated to helping you get out of debt in months instead of years, all while saving you thousands. and without risking your family home. We know what we're doing, and we don't make promises we can't keep. Call Credit Card Relief right now at 866-580-9999. 866-580-9999. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. 866-580-9999.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And without further ado, or adieu, or much to do, we got lots to do, so it must be adieu. I would like to say, oh, Captain, my Captain, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Wonderful.
Real good.
What's up on this beautiful Saturday?
You know, yeah, you were talking, it's hot. You were talking about silver, and I'm starting to like silver. First of all, one reason is it does have considerable industrial uses.
Yep,
that is
and
true.
We can't build our electronics without it. It seems like some of the banks are really hoarding the heck out of it.
Yep. One in particular.
There's an ETF. One in particular, for sure. There's an ETF I've been looking at called SIVR, which is Physical Silver Shares.
Uh-huh.
It basically tracks bullion. It's got only a 30 basis point operating cost. It seems like, you know, I may get into it a little bit because I think we're going to see a run-up now in commodities. And as I say, I like silver because it really has a use.
It's consumable. So it has to constantly be replenished, renewed, mined, in other words. It has to be.
Yeah.
And that's one
of
my arguments in favor of it,
use.
Too. No, not really. Well, there's some of it. Very little in the industrial area, but a lot of it is for jewelry.
Yeah.
But I'm not
a necessity thing. So I think you're right about saying, if you're going to put a few bucks in and just shoot the dice. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, precious metals are never going to be worth nothing.
That's correct.
Which is a double negative, so that means they'll always be worth something.
Knew what you meant.
And, but anyway, I thought it'd be a good play for, play money. You know, when I say play money, you know what I mean. It's a crapshoot with commodities, always was, will be.
I would not do it all at once if you're targeting 5% of your portfolio or whatever. I'd buy it in little increments, and then you see what the trend line is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, dollar cost average.
At one time, I'll give you a quick story. At one time, I ran a yacht for a guy who was a commodities. He played in commodities. Mm-hmm. He happened to own 50 gas stations and a pipeline or two and some trucks. And his thing was he worked commodities market in Chicago with no lead gasoline.
Okay.
Because he could always take delivery if he had to.
Yeah, true.
And he once told me, I saw this guy lose $1 million in 31 seconds.
Which implies one thing, he had $1 million.
Oh, yeah, this guy had some money. I was driving a very large yacht. But he once told me, I once asked him, I said, his name is Glenn. I said, Glenn, I'd like to see that. He said, don't even think about it. Don't even vaguely think that you can do what I do. You can't.
Smart guy. I'd call him a good friend if he gives you that kind of advice.
Yeah, he was, because he had a terminal right there in his office, in his home office in Virginia, and he just, you know. Anyway, I'm going to call you next week or the week after from Jamaica.
Oh, I can't wait. You're going for the distance prize.
It'll be 2 weeks from today.
Okay, cool. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia?
All right, buddy.
Trivia chance?
I don't know. You know my feeling about long-term care. I got it covered.
not even to be
a member of that particular club, you know.
Yeah, you are definitely right about that. One way or the other, you are taken care of. Unlike most people, I might add.
When my time comes, I'll be living out my days at a 5-star nursing home.
Living large and getting old, right?
Yeah, what the heck out there with my brethren.
Works for
me. All right, guys, you take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Have a good trip, and when you call us, use the Jamaican accent. That he does. He's a Mason, and they're set for life. You can't do it unless you've put a lot of years into it, but he's a good guy. Adam came up with a term that I had never heard before, and the reason is it's so new. It's called a teller-assisted ATM. What is it?
It is, a new product from Bank of America that isn't basically a regular ATM, but you can also talk to an actual person to help you through the transactions. And the reason I discovered this was a very good friend of mine just got back from a short trip to see some family here in the U.S. and returned home and logged onto her bank account and found that $1,150 was missing. And so immediately she called the bank, and while she was on the phone with the bank, as she was watching her account online, another $1,150 was being withdrawn by someone in Fort Lauderdale. And clearly she had been a victim of identity theft, and somehow these people, without having her physical ATM card, were able to use this teller-assisted ATM to withdraw money from her account. And their Bank of America had never seen this type of fraud before. They said it's the first time it's happened. There are only a few of these teller-assisted ATMs around the country. One of them, I guess, happens to be in Fort Lauderdale. And so they were amazed that this was happening, because it was really the first crime of its type ever committed that they know about. So, again, there isn't a whole lot you can do to protect yourself from things like this. There are some things, and we did a blog about it, I think a couple months ago. It's on our website if you want to check it out. There's 10 or more things you can do to protect your identity for almost free, and they're pretty much worth every penny in this day and age, because you are so likely to become a victim, especially if you live in Florida, because there are just, for some reason, we are a hotbed of identity theft and other financial crimes.
Well, first off, kudos to Bank of America. They made her whole.
They
gave her all her money back, which was the right thing to do, and I appreciate it. But tell us a little more about the whole concept of the teller-assisted. I find it brilliant, personally.
It is. It's sort of like a hybrid model between an ATM and going through a traditional drive-up teller. You can actually cash checks for the exact amount, and you can receive change from those checks. You can also receive cash withdrawals in any denomination, ones, fives, 20s, and 100s. And they say that the future functionality is going to include depositing checks with cashback, splitting a deposit into two or more accounts, and make loans or credit card payments at these ATMs. So you get the ease of dealing with a machine, but if you run into trouble, you have a person there to kind of back up that machine.
I think the whole concept of being able to do a cash back from your check deposit, things like that, it just makes so much sense to me.
Definitely.
And then if you notice a problem right there and then, too, you just press the button and you're talking to somebody.
But apparently they need to tighten up their security a little bit. There must be some kind of loophole where this person was able to get that money out.
Do you know if she has a debit card? Is that
it? Is a debit card, and I actually canceled my debit card last year and just went to an ATM card. I just don't trust debit cards anymore.
I would absolutely 100% agree with that. I just think this day and age, you're sticking your neck out too far by even having one. If you use it in the wrong place, for instance, a restaurant, and That's, as you said, she'd just gotten back from a trip, and they were probably out. And some of these little card readers and devices that are there, you send your credit card or debit card away with a server. It comes back to you with a bill. Who has had care, custody, and control of that card over that time?
How many people have seen it? How many people could have written it down? It's just, it's with a credit card, I like to use credit cards and pay them off monthly, because with a credit card, when you make a transaction, you haven't actually spent any of your own money. It's just an electronic charge going to another company at that point.
The negative on that, as most people look at it, is that it's so easy to spend money.
Correct.
Well, if you got that problem, it isn't the fault of your debit card. It isn't the fault of your credit card.
Right.
It's if you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and the guy looking back at you, that's the problem.
Exactly. Right. And if you know you're like that, just go take out cash and spend your cash. You will be a lot less likely to get in any trouble if you're spending physical dollar bills.
That is absolutely true. Teller-assisted ATM. Quite brilliant. Do you know where the first coin was minted?
I do not.
Would you like to?
Sure.
You wouldn't know it this way. It was about 1100 BC, and it was at a place called Lydia, or Lydia, L-Y-D-I-A. I'm not sure which. You would know it today as Western Turkey.
Hmm.
How about that? And they had, the early Chinese in particular, had used things like tools that they made out of metals and such as the early barter. But they noticed something. They started making small ones, and you reach in your pocket and try to grab a coin or something, you might be hitting the tip of a sharp tool or something like that. So they started making them circular. And then they started putting pictures on them, and then they started actually minting them and using them as money. That's how the whole thing got started. And as Captain Dave said, it's never been worth nothing, never been worth zero, which was, at the time they used to do this on one of the commercials around town, I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But I've had a chance to think about it, and I no longer consider it the dumbest thing in the world. I actually think it's quite brilliant. Will it come back? Yes. Will it go higher? Yes. Will I tell you when? Yes. After it happens.
So what was the answer to that trivia question?
40% of the 13 million Americans currently receiving long-term care services are between the ages of 18 and 64. Remember what I said. If you need it and something like that has already happened to you, you will not pass the underwriting requirements and you will not be able to buy it. That's when you go look at some of these alternatives.
And that is true for most insurance products,
except for
maybe Obamacare.
All right. Well, I can't believe the hour has gone away already. We certainly appreciate everybody listening. If you like it, tell your friends. And remember, you will never plan to fail. You will only fail to plan. So be here next week, 10 o'clock. Have a good one.